We're going to talk about the kingdom of God tonight. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. We're going to march through the Gospel of Luke. And along with Theophilus, our faith is being established. What we have learned about Jesus Christ is being confirmed as we read Luke's account of the life, the ministry, the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 13, we have just recently studied and taken a look at what Jesus did on the Sabbath day in healing this woman who was in the bondage of Satan 18 years. And remember, the ruler of the synagogue rebuked Jesus for doing this on the synagogue. But the results of Jesus's interaction in the synagogue are explained in verse 17 of Luke 13. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Notice again the focus on what Jesus said and what he did. And that's clearly the purpose, as Acts chapter 1, verse 1 expresses the purpose statement of the Gospel of Luke. What Jesus said and what he did. And we do well as a church and as people to pay attention to that. That's why we have the Gospels. And it's good to have a regular diet of them. So in verse 18 of this chapter, we read, "Then said he," Jesus, "unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it?" You see in verse 20, "Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God?" And so clearly the subject of the kingdom of God is become apparent. And Luke here puts this together following this occasion at the synagogue. There are two parables in this. One, the parable of the mustard seed, and the parable of the leaven. I want to remind you of what Luke wrote in Luke chapter 8 and verse 10, where we read, "And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Luke 8, 10. This he spoke to his disciples. Jesus, why do you speak in parables? Why these stories? Why not just cut it straight and speak it clear? And we understand that to some, they will understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But others, all they hear is these stories. Very much so, God, or the Lord Jesus, is seeking the hearts of people. He's not just out to entertain them with stories. He is truly a great teacher. And he is communicating God's truth as the Son of God. He wants people to understand God's standard of righteousness as he lives it out personally, as God in human flesh. And yet he also understands the hearts and minds of people. And he understands that there are some who don't really truly care on the inside. And to them, much of what he says is confusing and mysterious. But he also knows that there will be some, and that there are some who are drawn to more, to wanting more, to asking questions. And this episode with this woman whom he heals on the Sabbath day, where he shows his authority, Jesus is greater. You walk away from this episode as a reader of the Gospel of Luke and you realize Jesus is the greatest. Satan's got nothing on Jesus. The people are rejoicing. The adversaries are ashamed. So then, what is this kingdom of God? What is it? What is it like? And Jesus resorts here to comparing. What is it like? Let's talk about what it's like. Let's help you understand it more. Now, to be fair, as a reader of a student of the Gospel of Luke, it's important for us to understand this theme of the covenant as Luke has presented it through his book, through the Gospel. The first time you see this word kingdom is in the Song of Mary, after she has been confronted with the incredible truth that you're going to bear the Son of God. You're going to be conceived by the Spirit, conceived, the conception through the Holy Spirit, and that you will bear the Son of God. In her song, in Luke chapter 1, verse 33, we read, "And he shall reign." Let's go to verse 32. "And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." So here in the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the kingdom is mentioned. And so here as readers, we're cued in the fact that there is a kingdom. It has to do with David and the throne of David, and it will last forever. There will be no end to it. Now the Old Testament prophets alluded to this as well and spoke of this. Daniel, one of them. Well, we also see that the kingdom of God was something that the Lord Jesus felt it very important that it be preached, that it be communicated. Now just listen, and there's several verses I want to share with you from Luke. Luke 4:43, listen to what it says. "And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." And so preaching the kingdom of God was something very important and a priority to Jesus and his earthly ministry. The kingdom of God was something that he wanted the people to know about, to hear about. When he sent out his disciples, he told them to preach and show the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Luke 8, 1. Luke 9, 2. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke chapter 9 and verse 60, Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." So the kingdom of God was something that needed to be preached, needed to be proclaimed. So with Luke's study and his writings here, as a reader of this gospel, our understanding of the kingdom is growing. It has to do with the Lord and prophecy from David, the throne of David, and it's enduring forever. There shall be no end. It is something that ought to be and needs to be preached and was a priority of Jesus. This is why he said, "I was sent." We also can learn from Luke that the kingdom of God is a real entity, that it's present in Jesus' day when he was on the earth, in a spiritual sense, yet one day will be truly tangible and physically experienced in the context of the resurrection. Listen to these different passages. Luke 6:20, Jesus lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Luke 7:28 says, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Luke 9:27, "But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." Remember what took place after that? The transfiguration. And you see Peter, James, and John actually witness Jesus Christ being glorified and Moses and Elijah being right there. And so they actually saw this. And so the kingdom of God is not just some figment of imagination. It's a real entity. The The kingdom of God is mentioned about 40 times in the Gospel of Luke. Many more times to come following Luke chapter 13. The understanding of the kingdom of God is going to build. And as students of the scriptures, we do well to pay attention to that theme, to that teaching, because we want to know what the kingdom of God is all about. We want to understand the kingdom of God. As a student of the scriptures, and especially with this being in the narrative genre, you know, it's telling the story, if you will. We start at the beginning and we work our way through, realizing that was the intended purpose and way for it to be read. What else have we learned about the kingdom of God in our study? Well, the kingdom of God is likened to Jesus Christ and the message he proclaimed. In Luke chapter 10, verse 9, we read, "And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come near unto you." Jesus Christ saying this, and now he's saying, the kingdom of God has come near unto you. Jesus Christ is a key to this kingdom of God. In fact, we have already learned that Jesus is the one who will sit on that throne of David and be there forever and ever. He will be the one who has this kingdom. We also see that the kingdom of God is to be sought after. It's to be desired. It is good. Aren't we all excited for a good kingdom? For a kingdom where we are excited about what is presented, about what is believed, about what are the standards of that kingdom. You know, one day, church, we will live in a place that's ruled by righteousness. Peter writes that in his letters. That's the Lord Jesus' way of ruling. Righteousness. He is that standard of righteousness. And so the kingdom of God, as it says in Luke 12:31, "But rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus encourages, seek after this kingdom, the kingdom of God. Luke 12:32 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." To give you the kingdom. Our God is good. The kingdom is good and to be desired. And so we pick up here with Jesus wanting the people to say, he's piquing their curiosity, and he's really good at this, isn't he? I mean, using such terms as, what's the kingdom of God like? To what shall I liken it? And of course, we lean in, don't we? Because the kingdom of God has a sense of mystery to us, because it's not something we see. We can't look at a map and say, well, there's the kingdom of God, right? No, we can't do that. And neither could these people in his day as they listened. In fact, the audience of Gospel of Luke, we believe, were Gentile-minded people. And they lived in the Roman Empire, a very tangible kingdom. And so as you talk about a kingdom, you would have had a conflict in your mind as, well, I live in a kingdom of Rome. The Empire of Rome. And now you've got this kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God like the kingdom of Rome? And you can begin to go. And so Jesus here bringing clarity. So to what shall I liken it? And so two parables. Mustard seed. How many of you have ever planted mustard? I didn't think so. I've never planted mustard, and I'll be honest, I have never actually held a mustard seed. Anybody held a mustard seed? You have, okay. They're very, very small. So what does Jesus say here? So he says, it is like, what is like? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like, verse 19. So I'm in Luke 13:19. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took, cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in it, in the branches of it. All right, so this parable is also one included in Matthew and also in Mark. But what's interesting is Luke's approach here is not necessarily the smallness of the seed. You notice here that he doesn't say how small the seed is. Now, maybe perhaps he understands and makes the assumption that, now, this is under the Spirit of God, so the Spirit of God maybe didn't feel it necessary to add that detail into this account, but nevertheless, I take into account the very Word of God, and that each word is important. Whether it's there or not, there is an important detail. So in Matthew and Mark, it talks about how small the seed of the mustard is. Not here. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which this man took, and he cast it into his garden. And this small seed, it grew. That's a very key word in the parable. It grew. And that is, growth is something that we like, usually. Growth is good. How many of you planted a garden this year? We have a few, yes. How many of you go out and you look at your garden and see if it's growing, right? Yes, you come and look at our garden, yes. My wife loves to garden, and she loves to go out and walk through the gardens and see what different things are coming up, whether the flowers or the vegetables. She loves to see them growing. That's an exciting thing about it. They grow. That's good. You want them to grow. This small seed that was planted in the ground, Jesus says, that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's like that small seed. It's planted in the ground, but in fact, he doesn't even say small seed. He says, it's like that seed. It's planted in the ground, and it grew. But here's what he emphasizes. It grew into what? Into something great. Into a great tree, the text says. A plant, now this is an herb, this it grows to such great height and power and strength that even birds can land on its branches and find shelter and support thereon. That's quite an herb. From just a small seed. And I keep saying that, but remember, the emphasis isn't on the smallness of the seed. The emphasis is on it grew into something great. It grew. Now, why do you suppose the Spirit of God places this parable here immediately following what just took place in the synagogue? Here's my thoughts. My thoughts is, as we read in verse 17, we see the reaction of the people in their rejoicing of the glorious things that were done by the Lord Jesus. We also see adversaries. And we see adversaries are ashamed. And so you are in this episode that we read about, there is a clash between the power and the authority of the God of heaven and the God of this world, Satan. And we see that the God of heaven, that Jesus Christ, is superior. We see that in the face of Jesus Christ, in his wisdom and his words, adversaries are ashamed and his followers rejoice and give him glory. And so therefore, as a reader of the Gospel of Luke, we see that although he only has but a few followers, although we see that he's just going throughout small village to small village to small village, working on his way to Jerusalem, this great teacher is communicating about the kingdom of God that may start and is starting small, but its future, its size, its influence, its expanse is great. Be hopeful, follower of Jesus. Realize that although you may feel small and isolated and alone as a follower of Christ, the kingdom of God grows. It has grown since the days of Christ, to the fact that the church has spread from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. We can rejoice today that much of the world has heard the gospel, but yet there are so many places that have not. But the church, the kingdom of God, has been shared around the world. It was mentioned tonight that around the throne in heaven, there will be people singing and praising God from every kindred and tongue and tribe and nation. How do you explain that when you're just looking here at Jesus in a small village doing a miracle in a synagogue, and there's a synagogue ruler, and there's a few band of people, a small crowd of people around him, and now you look and you see it's grown. Of course it's grown, because that's the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is like a seed that's planted and it grows up into this great, great tree. But Jesus, he gives another illustration, another parable, and this is the parable of the leaven. Verse 20, he again said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. It's interesting, as I was studying, some commentators have taken the approach that because leaven is mentioned here, it needs to be a negative. Leaven often in the scriptures is used to speak of what? Of sin, right? And so some commentators take that approach that this is a negative, in that there is false teaching that invades the kingdom of God and in the church. I choose a different approach. I don't believe that just because in all the places in the Bible that other places in the Bible that leaven is mentioned that it is negative, that it has to be negative in this place, especially in regards to its proximity to the parable that we just looked at. I'm choosing to take a look at this as a positive, as a very similar look as the mustard seed. Whereas the focus with the mustard seed is it grew into something great in its strength, its size. Here we see the extent of its influence. The kingdom of God is like leaven. It's like this yeast that a woman takes and she puts it into these measures of meal till the whole was leavened. You notice here the emphasis, till the whole was leavened. Notice there the extent of its influence. You see the power of the kingdom of God here. In its influence, it will have its way. It is powerful. And what Jesus is proclaiming and preaching about the kingdom of God, you do well to pay attention to it and allow it to have influence in your life. And it will have influence in the lives of other people that are around you. Jesus says, what is the kingdom of God like? I'll tell you, it grows like that mustard seed. Grows into something great. That's the future of the kingdom of God. It has great influence, like a leaven, little piece of yeast that you put into a whole batch of dough. you know what? It infiltrates the entire thing. It causes that entire thing to become what? Leavened. It's now a leavened loaf. The preaching and teaching of the kingdom of God has incredible influence. And it extends through the whole. So he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. It's fascinating to see that just how the Spirit puts the Word of God together. Two short parables. This is what the kingdom of God is like. And now, I want you to know, Luke writes, Jesus is traveling. He's going from city and village. He's teaching. He's journeying toward where? Jerusalem. Now we, and I believe Theophilus, understood what was to come. It sure seems as if Theophilus has already believed in Christ. Christ died where? At Jerusalem. He rose again there. That is where he's going. And so it may not be expressly clear here to a first-time reader, but we do benefit, don't we, from realizing the importance of his focus and his journey is where it is Jerusalem. Why? Because that is where he will ultimately accomplish God's plan for why he was sent. To bear the sin of many, to suffer, to be killed, to be buried, and then on the third day, what? Rise again. God wants us to be encouraged tonight. We ought to be encouraged because the kingdom of God is real. It is a true teaching of Jesus Christ and of the scriptures. We do believe that the Lord Jesus will literally reign on this earth for 1,000 years. We do believe that he will sit upon the throne of David, and it will be an enduring reign forever and ever. We believe that all will be placed under his authority, including death, as it is cast into the lake of fire. The preaching of the kingdom of God is what we are about in declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the kingdom of God is the future, is the abiding place of those who embrace Jesus Christ. It's the abiding place for us now as we think spiritually of who we are. And whose we are. And although Jesus may not have an actual physical kingdom today, right now, we know he sits in the right hand of the Father. We know the victory has already happened. And he's just waiting the day when his Father says, go and get my children. God wants the church to be encouraged and realize that the kingdom of God is real, but it needs to be proclaimed and still needs to be proclaimed. People so long for a righteous kingdom. Maybe they don't understand what righteousness is, but they realize that there has got to be some place, somewhere, where things are right. Where good reigns and evil is confronted, embedded with deep within people. They're looking for this, but so often in our world we see them looking in all the wrong places. Why? Because we are depraved, aren't we? We all are naturally sinners. So the kingdom of God needs to be taught and needs to be proclaimed as the alternative, as the only true alternative to the kingdom of Satan, who is the god of this world. who is the deceiver and who is the adversary, who is not for you and not for us as people, but he is for himself and he is for our destruction. The kingdom of God is real. The kingdom of God must be proclaimed and declared. The kingdom of God needs to be sought after. It's good. Seek after the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek after an abiding in Jesus Christ. That's how Jesus put it in John chapter 15, where he used yet another illustration, the vine and the branches. So tonight, are you abiding in Christ? Are you seeking after his kingdom, his way, his righteousness? You know, every kingdom has its descriptions, what it stands for, its constitution. And the Word of God declares the kingdom of God is truth and righteousness. Now it's going to grow, and it is growing, and it has grown. And it's influential. It's influenced you, and it's influenced me, and it's influencing our children. I was thinking tonight what a blessing it is that my children get to grow up with this influence. Not every family has that. Lord Jesus, thank you for the blessing of understanding the kingdom of God in a greater and more clear way. And Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. God, I thank you for each one that's here tonight. You brought us together by design. And Lord, we go from this place not alone. Boy, Lord, we rejoice in that. In Jesus' name, amen.